As we mentioned, President Trump gives his first State of the Union address before Congress tonight. The history of those addresses includes a few noteworthy moments in time, but they often feature so-called laundry lists of items that include achievements a president may claim or things he wants to accomplish over the next year. So with another potential government shutdown looming and controversy often accompanying his comments and tweets, President Trump will step to the podium. And with me via Skype to preview the address and look back at other State of the Union speeches is Aaron Call, Director of Debate at the University of Michigan. He's also editor of the book, The State of the Union Is. So, Aaron, do you expect President Trump to reach out to Democrats or to talk about what he considers the successes of his first year?
Yes, a little bit of both. President Trump never misses an opportunity to talk about accomplishments and positive things that he's brought to the country. So that'll be a big part of Tuesday night's speech. And he's got a lot of good talking points regarding that. The economy is doing pretty strong with certain metrics. He's got some agenda items, too, that he's going to talk about that have passed. The tax cut legislation that just happened at the end of last year has been a real big boon for big companies that have handed out bonuses and some have increased some wages. He's had a lot of success with appointing conservative justices, starting with Justice Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. But at the same time, he's also going to, I think, try to extend an olive branch to Democrats and then look forward. He's got an infrastructure plan that he would really like to get done that could be attractive to Democrats. There's some more funding for opioids. And so I think he'll try to highlight some agenda items that he can get some buy-in in from Democrats, but also have a tone of bipartisanship, reconciliation that is more in tune with his February address as opposed to the January inaugural speech that talked about American carnage. I think it'll be a lot more optimistic and forward-leaning, and he'll try to get as many Democrats on board as possible because that's needed to get anything done in Congress, especially the Senate, where it takes 60 votes.
And what role will the brief government shutdown and the threat of another government shutdown, how big a role will that play? Will that be part of the olive branch, you're saying, or could he take a chance to sort of tee off on Democrats there?
I think probably a little bit of a mixed bag with that. I think the speech probably had to be rewritten in some ways after the first government shutdown. It probably will limit the amount of the kind of olive branch that he can extend to Democrats, because while he's giving a State of the Union address, he's also setting a marker for the immigration reform deal and the next funding deadline, which is only on February 8th. And so, you know, he can't just talk about working with Democrats because there has to be some kind of something to break the funding impasse. And then in theory, there could be another shutdown unless there's not an immigration deal done by February 8th. And so he's going to have to put down a marker, a hard line on kind of what he wants to see as part of the immigration deal. And that's going to be increased spending, tens of billions of dollars more on the wall, decreasing legal immigration, maybe of 40% to 50%. And so, you know, that's going to be kind of a somber part of the message. But because, you know, he's publicly negotiating the administration's position, but also he's got to be concerned for, you know, the House and Senate to make sure that the deal can be accepted by all sides, because there's a lot of political considerations there. But at the same time, the shutdown will be front and center, because I think the Trump thinks that he handled it and kind of outdueled Chuck Schumer and the Democrats with that last time. And he could really use the shutdown as an advantage in the State of the Union speech.
Now, to understate it, this president has been controversial. And we've seen more recently with President Obama, even President Bush, George W. Bush, to some extent, there's been more reaction, it seems, from the gallery to some of these speeches. There's the infamous "you lie" from Representative Joe Wilson toward President Obama. Do you expect anything like that, considering how much hostility there is toward this president?
I wouldn't say I expect it, just because, you know, you mentioned Joe Wilson. There was something with Samuel Alito where he kind of mouthed not true in President Obama's 2010 address. And so, you know, over the hundreds of years, we've had kind of a few high profile examples. So, you know, just statistically, it's not likely to occur. And also just for the respect of the office of the presidency and the fact that the address is given to the House chambers, I don't think we'll see anything like that. But, you know, you mentioned just the presence of Trump kind of adds a different dynamic to that. And he's very controversial. He's said many inflammatory statements and tweets. And so if it's going to happen, it's likely to be in response to either something Trump has previously said or that he brings up in his address.
I want to go back in time. I want to ask you about 1974, President Nixon's State of the Union address, obviously in the height of Watergate, a lot of tension there. What can you tell us about that speech? What stands out?
What stands out was how unpopular President Nixon was when he gave that address. I think he was about 28% approval rating. Now, Trump is historically unpopular, but he's, you know, not in the 20s. He's about closer to maybe 38-40%. And so, you know, he gave a very difficult speech right in the middle of the Watergate investigation. And he very famously at the end said that a year of the Watergate investigation is enough and we should kind of move on. That obviously didn't work out for him. Within 7 months of the speech, he had resigned from the presidency and Gerald Ford had taken over.
I believe that I have provided all the material that he needs to conclude his investigations and to proceed to prosecute the guilty and to clear the innocent. I believe the time has come to bring that investigation and the other investigations of this matter to an end.
Today, that freshman member from Michigan stands where Mr. Truman stood. And I must say to you that the state of the union is not good.
President Ford, who of course took over once President Nixon resigned, to hear President Ford say the state of the union is not good, I can't even imagine another president ever saying that, even if it were true.
Exactly. And it was true. But since then, no president has come anywhere close to saying that because, you know, I think it was a sobering speech. But, you know, it came just after President Ford had pardoned Nixon. And so, you know, he faced a lot of, a lot of headwinds. Energy prices were really increasing and had a real negative effect on the economy. And so he had a lot of things going against him, both politically and economically, for that speech. And, you know, it was, you know, sobering and it was very honest. But, you know, politics, a lot of it is theatrics and kind of always wanting to make sure that you're framing the issue on your terms. And, you know, what I do think that President Trump could take from Ford is that he had a lot of agenda items that he wanted to do to improve the state of the economy in terms of some energy policy and jobs and, you know, the deficit and kind of all these things. And he really laid them out, you know, in a way that was very organized and structured. And he had details and deadlines for when he wanted that to happen. I think President Trump should do the same. And, you know, he's got the advantage of having a Republican Congress.
And Aaron, the final previous State of the Union address I wanted to ask you about was from 1986 with the great communicator Ronald Reagan.
Thank you for allowing me to delay my address until this evening. We pause together to mourn and honor the valor of our seven Challenger heroes, and I hope that we're now ready to do what they would want us to do. Go forward, America, and reach for the stars.
So what can President Trump take from what President Reagan said at that time?
Yeah, that speech was very optimistic and forward-looking. I mean, you know, as you mentioned, the great communicator, President Reagan was great at that, and he was an actor and, you know, former governor of California, and so the stagecraft was excellent. That was a very short speech, and, you know, that is something, that was about a 30-35-minute speech, and, you know, I think most people are expecting Tuesday night's address to be closer to an hour, which was the kind of the time that he did in February, but you know, kind of a short, succinct speech, I think, is something can be very beneficial. His inaugural address was only 17 minutes. Today, with the audience, attention spans are so much shorter than they used to be. People are going to be on Twitter and multitasking. And so, you know, people may have an hour or so to devote to addresses previously. May not be the case this time.
Aaron Call is director of debate at the University of Michigan. He's also editor of the book, The State of the Union Is.